Packers all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde is brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project? Exterior Pros and Baths is giving $3,000 off roofing, siding, windows, or bath remodels this month. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Century Foods. Change your grocery game plan to locally owned Century Foods, home of the best meat, freshest produce, and tastiest treats.
Always great to get the insight from our friend and teammate Jason Wilde up at 1265. Good morning, Jason. How are you doing today?
Good, everybody. How are you?
We're good. We're warm. It's warm in the studio. 70, oh, still 79. Yep. Tropical, downright tropical here. How concerned should we be about the Packers' defensive line? Obviously, we know about the Devontae Wyatt injury. And then yesterday, you and your colleagues revealing that Lucas Van Ness is walking around in a walking boot. He said that the injury is kind of still nagging him a little bit here. What is the level of concern for that defensive line, especially against a Bears team that seems to want to run the ball and run it often?
Well, first of all, it would have been nice if you'd have given me just a chance to sing "The Weather Outside is Frightful, but in the studio, the fire is delightful." But that's okay. That's fine. I know we want to get to the important stuff. Rob talked to him, and the fact that he basically said that he tried to come back and it just didn't feel right. And so they kind of hit the reset button and went back to the rehab process. That's never good. But, I don't want this to sound like, because I have no idea what's going on inside of his foot, right? But you know who I thought of right away? The big fella sitting, I don't know if he's in the studio or if he's in some tropical location.
I'm here, buddy.
Okay. Well, it feels like Florida then. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I guess I don't understand. He gave Rob one question. And so that was how we got the information we got. But I don't know. You played through a lot of foot stuff, right? I mean, Jaden Reed was playing through a Jones fracture in his foot. And so I don't know what exactly is wrong with it, but he missed 5 games, came back for what, 6 snaps or something ridiculous in the one game he played, and now he's back on the shelf and in a walking boot. So, again, this is a pivotal season for him. And so, again, I never want to question guys the veracity of their injuries. I just wonder, this is one of those instances where if you gave more information, we would have a better understanding of why you're back on the shelf. And not having that, it's hard to understand exactly what happened here because, for a medical staff that, while Doc McKenzie is now more in an advisory role, they still, I think, are going to always be cautious. That's how the Packers do business. They cleared him to return to play. And I just find myself wondering what's really afoot, pardon the pun, here.
Jason, is it just a percentage of players that will not play unless they're 100%? I mean, because when I tore my plantar fascia, Jason, I was back in 2 games. Should have never been back in 2 games, but...
Correct.
What the hell?
I think you can make the argument. I think you can make the argument that you're the idiot and they're the smart one, right?
To agree, I think, Jason. I think, I don't know. I mean, I can't sit on the sideline if I'm 94, 95%. Like, what the hell?
I would just say this, I don't have enough information for this to be a critique of Lucas Van Ness. So I really, really, really do not want it to sound like it's about him, okay? Because we don't know, and I feel bad. I actually to have gone this far down this road, I'm thinking, guy, I shouldn't have done this. I will say that you saw Rodgers playing for the Steelers on Sunday with a broken left wrist and then with blood all over his face after Bosa knocks him in the next week. And he missed, what, one series and came back?
Mm-hmm.
And he's got, you know, they're in the playoff hunt. You know, somebody's going to win that division with a 9-8 record or something like that. But I know, I can tell you that he expressed on multiple occasions when he was here a frustration of what you just said, that he believed that too many guys would only play if they were 100%. And if they weren't healthy enough to be on top of their game, they did not want to be out there. And in fairness, what do we always say? If you're out there, you're going to be judged.
Yeah.
Right? No one's going to talk about whether or not you're playing hurt or not. You're going to be judged by your performance. And so, you know, with the money that's at stake now compared to what you made, and with the criticism being a keyboard away, maybe they are the smart ones and you were the dumb one. Again, I don't know, but and again, not to be unfair to Lucas Van Ness, because you don't wear a walking boot as a prop.
Yeah.
So clearly there is something that he re-damaged in that foot. But, you know, again, I think there are players that are, I guess you'd call them throwbacks now.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are people that are probably smart enough to say, no, I mean, let's look at Lucas Van Ness where he's at. Okay. Again, not knowing enough about his injury to pin anything on him. But like, on the one hand, this is a pivotal year for him, right? They have to decide on the fifth year option before May 1st of 26. So is it better for him to go out there playing hurt and playing poorly, or is it better for him to be sidelined until he's able to go out there? I mean, the last play he made before his brief cameo upon returning was a sack on Joe Flacco against Cincinnati. Like, I don't know what the calculus is for players nowadays.
Yeah.
But he's definitely in a tough spot in terms of his NFL future.
Let me ask you this, Jason. Do you ever see any guilt in players? Like, the guilt would eat at me if my guys were out there on Sunday and I was like, do they give a crap anymore? Or is it just like, hey, I got to be 100% so I can get that $80 million contract? I could never play football like that. I'm sorry. I can't. I don't want to play. I know that's easy to say now because hindsight's 20/20. But the guilt when we played with Brett, with Leroy, we all played hurt. Because we love the game, and we didn't want to let our guys down. I just think the world we live in today, all people give a sugar about is themselves. I can't do it. I just and you know what? I bet Tausch would say the same thing.
Yeah, look, I feel, let me make this very clear one last time. I have no idea if Lucas Van Ness, if what you and I are talking about right now is applicable to him or not. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, I would say this, like, I think about Antonio Freeman's a great example of this, right? Like, he played while his jaw was still wired shut from a fractured jaw. He played with, like, the old John Anderson, and I don't mean our teammate from formerly of ESPN, and Wipeout, which was a great show, by the way. The John Anderson that worked at Channel 6 for a long time in the pre-gen era,
mm-hmm.
At WITI, who played like linebacker for the Packers when I was growing up, and he always was wearing this enormous white cast on one of his arms. Free played with a broken forearm. He played with a fracture in his jaw that his jaw was wired shut, which still didn't stop him from talking, of course, because he's free. But yeah, you guys were different, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and I'm sure the Lombardi era guys, even though Ray Nitschke was crying on the sideline when you guys beat Carolina to go to the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure there were they probably looked at you guys, not all of you, but some of you, and thought, oh, these guys are pansies compared to us,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So there's a built-in, you know, oh, when I was a player kind of a thing. But I don't think you're entirely wrong either. Mm. And at the same time, there's also great advancements in medical technology, right? Where whatever Pepper Burris was working with to decide whether or not you should go practice is different than what Flea and those guys have. So, yeah. Again, I don't want this to be a value judgment on Van Ness, and I know we went pretty far down the road here. But the bottom line, to go back to Jen's original point, I mean, they are thin right now on the defensive line. I mean, we didn't even talk about Carl Brooks, who basically had a similar scenario where he suffered an ankle injury. He tried to play in the same game Van Ness did. Like, he lasted only single-digit snaps, and then he didn't play on Thanksgiving. And that's a guy that they really need. I mean, he and Colby Wooden have played the most snaps of any interior defensive lineman on the roster. One's played like 415, and one's played 413. And so they clearly need those guys now to pick up the slack. And I think Wooden is kind of an unsung hero guy, because when Wyatt was hurt the first time, you know, he played pretty darn well in the next couple of games while Wyatt was sidelined.
Our conversations with Jason Wilde brought to you by Lakeland Supply. They're in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. Jason, I asked this of Rob yesterday, and I'm curious what your answer is as well. Because I look at the numbers, and the numbers tell me the Packers are good at defending the run. Eighth in yards, sixth in yards per attempt. But a blueprint to beat the Packers has been run the football, shorten the game. And some teams have been relatively successful at that, whether it's Carolina, whether it is the Giants, who got close to beating the Packers, the Vikings in the first half before they had to start airing it out after the Packers built a double-digit lead. So why do the numbers tell me that the Packers are good at stopping the run, yet the blueprint to beat them is run the football?
Because they're cumulative, right? Like, because there are a bunch of games that are factoring into that average where they did stop the run. But you just cited the three examples of when they didn't. And I do wonder, frankly, if in that Vikings game, if their returner if he just gets the heck out of the way with a Peter call, instead of trying to block Zane Anderson, which allows Zane Anderson to drive him into the ball to get the turnover, they're still able to keep running the ball, right? Think about that scenario. It's 10-6. Packers get the ball coming out of halftime, and the Vikings force a punt, right? You're only down four. You don't have to start having J.J. McCarthy throw the ball all around the football field, right? You can keep your same conservative, I don't have a very good quarterback, so I need to be smart about what I have him throw game plan. Instead, because of that fumble deep in your own territory, then the Packers go in and score, and it's 17-6, and it might as well be 70-6, given the way their offense, their passing game was so inept. So, and Lord knows Justin Jefferson would agree with me about that. So I don't know what would have happened. Would they have continued to run the ball effectively? And now you have removed Devontae Wyatt from the equation. And my only thing with Devontae Wyatt is that his superpower, if you will, is that for a guy that big, he is so explosive that, and his quickness is so good. That's what makes him a good player. And I think what we saw was when he would come back from injuries last year with the ankle, this year with the knee for several weeks after he was playing again, you know, to go to Chewy's point, this guy, give him credit, he played. And what were we saying about him? He wasn't very productive, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't really very good. So, you know, score one for today's player. There's a guy who played through the injuries, or at least missed abbreviated time with them, but then wasn't the same player when he did play. So I think your perception, I don't know what Rob said, but to me, what you're saying isn't perception, it's fact. Those three examples you gave, they were not a very good run defense. Now, the problem is, you know, their number is good because they were good against other run offenses, which may not have been very good, right? I mean, Saquon Barkley is struggling for a guy that had 2,000 yards. That's a people are egging the offensive coordinator's house in Philly. So I don't know if they're as good as their numbers show, but I'll tell you this: we're going to find out on Sunday.
Yeah, that's the nervous part.
281 yards in the last game. So if they're a good run defense, they're going to minimize the damage and force, just like they did with J.J. McCarthy, force Caleb Williams to show that he's improved as much as the perception is. Because I'll be honest, the dude's completed 58% of his passes. So I think we got to be a little bit careful about the narrative about just how far he's come, because he still has a long way to go before he's going to be what they're hoping he becomes.
Jason, very quickly before we let you go, how likely is it that the Packers have their full contingent of receiving options this weekend in Watson, Reed, Dobbs, Wicks, and Golden?
Yeah, I don't do anything verbally very quickly. I apologize for that. I don't think – I'll be surprised if they have Golden. Again, we'll find out more on Wednesday if he does more in practice. But I think Reed is going to be activated. I do think that. I think this was the target all along. So that will help. I'm sure he'll be on a pitch count. But, man, if these guys come back the way Christian Watson has, then they're going to be feeling pretty good about themselves, right? Because Watson hit the ground running, and he has been a really, really good football player for them ever since he came back.
Good stuff, Jason. We will be watching that injury report very closely when it comes out on Wednesday. Have a great one, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, everybody. Take care. Be good.
You can hear Jason Wilde right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on Wilde and Tausch here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, in addition to all of the other programs that we offer you. Gabe?
Connie's delivers pizzeria taste without the pizzeria prices, and it's BOGO right now at Pick and Save. From the cornmeal dusted thin crust to the all-natural premium ingredients, you'll enjoy the pizzeria experience from your home oven. Again, it's like unlike any other crust you've had when we're talking about premium quality frozen pizza. Connie's just delivers that great crust with those great toppings. So get over to Pick and Save and stock up. This hot offer, Connie's BOGO, it's good starting tomorrow, December 3rd through the 16th. BOGO at Pick and Save for Connie's Frozen Pizza.